It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
We wish to apologize for recording last week's episode in blackface. How you doing, Will?
Yeah, we had to issue a big statement about that.
That was,
I know.
Yeah, it was very, press release and everything. It was embarrassing. We should have known better.
How am I doing? My love life's in the toilet.
More in the toilet than before?
You know, I didn't realize. This is what's so vexing. I didn't realize how I was on the phone with former podcast guest Cassie J. Snyder.
Yes.
And she goes, how's your love life? And I realized I had literally nothing to say. There are no prospects. There's nothing.
There's just the spam girls on Tinder that want you to check out their webcam.
I mean, I've been very self-involved lately.
Could that be part of the reason why there's nothing going on?
Because I've been doing a lot of shows and stuff like that. But every time I'm at one of these shows, I'm looking at the women there, but they're all awful and have boyfriends and things.
So they're awful because they're at the show, or they're awful because they have boyfriends?
They're awful because they have boyfriends. They're great because they're at the show.
Okay.
You know, they're there to see me, so I could take them away from their boyfriends.
Is that how that works?
That's not been working.
No? Well. Okay. Well, keep at it.
I'm going to keep trying.
Okay.
I'm going to keep trying. That's what is the alternative is suicide. What's going on the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, a few things. Want to remind everyone, on November 10th, Nat Goldberg, our wonderful guest from last week, is having her show Casual Stalker at the West Side Theater. And she mentioned that if you go to the box office and you say Will Sean Podcast, you will get in for free.
That's as good a deal as you're ever going to get.
We're putting $5 in your pocket, people, so you should go check out her show.
It's free, not a comedy, just because you listen to this podcast.
There you go. And Alex Stein has a new essay writing show, also former guest of the podcast, two-time guest of the podcast. He has a new essay reading show. It's not just essays, it's any written work, if poetry, a piece of a novel. It's the Muse Salon for writers and performers, and it's similar to the Muse show that used to be in downtown LA, but now it is at the Muse location on 8th, just south of Wilshire, on Wilshire and La Brea.
And I know you checked it out last weekend.
I went, myself and Christy Morales, we both performed at the inaugural night, so did Dylan Brody and Alex Stein. It was a good night. So.
I'm going to be checking it out this Saturday night, the 2nd, so yeah, it should be good.
If you ever wanted to try out a piece of written material in a coffee shop with a bunch of confused strangers and people who are there to hear written material, this is the place to go.
I want to bring in those confused strangers. That's my bread and butter.
I see you just get right up into their face and perform.
And of course, obviously,
like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook, you assholes.
Star rate us on iTunes. All the stuff we always bug you about.
Yeah, and that you don't do. One person did it since the last episode. We got another 5-star rating on iTunes.
I'm still pissed that someone put a 1-star rating. I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, that's the competition.
Gotta hunt them down.
That's
the BS report.
Yeah, that's the BS report.
Those assholes in Seattle.
And who is our sponsor this week?
This week's episode is brought to you by Carpal Tunnel Syndrome is really painful. Ugh, my body is a rotting, degenerating mess. Sad face.
It's odd that we would have a sponsor that you detest so much.
I got it on my right hand, which is weird because I'm a lefty, so you'd think, but no.
Yeah, that's where it starts, and it's going to jump hands.
Sometimes I just want to cut my hand off.
On the show today, speaking of awful, NBC is awful, as always. We're going to complain about the newest thing they've done with their lineup. Ender's Game is coming out, and I could care less, and we'll talk about that. And movie tie-ins have gotten a little out of control, and guess what? I have some things to say about it. But first, we're very excited to have with us today. She's a terrific actress and a terrific singer, Ellie Ariza.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Before the show, there was a little bit of, because I'm known for mispronouncing the names. This
right.
is what I've known for. We once had a girl on the podcast, Tara Price. I introduced her to Tara Price, and she was like, it's Tara. Like, even when it was simple, even when it seemed simple, I screwed it up. So, before, and I asked if it was a Reza or a Riza, and you seemed to couldn't care less either way.
pronounces it differently, and I've just gotten to the point where I respond to it no matter how people say it. But in Spanish, it's Araiza. So I guess the closest thing in English is Araiza. Like, okay. I'm going to get a rise out of you, maybe.
Okay. I think you should pronounce it in the Spanish manner.
Say it again.
Araiza.
Araiza.
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Ah.
Very good. You're halfway there. Completely native.
That's it. Now I can make it, I can speak Spanish now. That's what I'm going with.
Perfect.
Andale, andale, arriba, muchacho. There.
So, well, then this brings up, this is actually a great segue into your origin story. Where are you from originally?
I am from San Luis Potosí, Mexico, which is, if you take Mexico and you pick the exact center of the country, that is where I was born and raised.
Okay. Hot, dusty center of the country.
Exactly.
Now, I am actually going to Mexico on Thursday. I'm going to Mexico City.
Nice.
For my cousin's wedding. So what do I need to know?
First time?
I was there 20 years ago, and then I was in Guadalajara 2 years ago for another cousin's wedding, and then most of my family lives in Monterrey, so that's normally where we would go.
Because everything I know about Mexico City came from Man on Fire, the Denzel Washington movie. So what do you have tips for this man?
Well, Mexico City, I don't know that well. I've been there a
couple times.
I'm
going to get kidnapped, aren't I?
Well, you know, the downtown is really nice now. They've made it. Like, they've really made it for tourists.
We're staying right at, like, Chapultepec Park, like, right on the park.
Yeah. There's cops everywhere. Like, it's, just...
I suggest you, before you go, you take some money, put it in a safety deposit box, give me the key.
Okay.
And I will, and if,
you
know, just in case.
So I should get kidnapping insurance, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, just to be safe.
Okay. So you grew up not in Mexico City, and so how long ago did you move here, then?
When I was 16, I guess I'm going to give away my age here.
Uh-huh.
But
when you were 16, you moved to...
I was 16. I moved to Chicago.
Okay.
I lived there for a while.
That seems like a big jump from, like, a place... I mean, Chicago's great, but, I mean, I imagine you're in warm Mexico, and then all of a sudden a winter in Chicago, windy city.
It was culture shock all the way. Plus, I was 16, so it's a very...
Well, you know, 16-year-old girls are just mentally all put together.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And emotionally equipped to handle anything.
Exactly. It was the easiest thing. It was like, whatever. American high school.
Yeah, like
American
on TV.
American people. Different. I don't know. And it's funny because, of course, as you see, I look American and I look Irish and I speak perfect English. So people didn't know that I was foreign. So they treated me like I should know what the heck they were talking about. But I didn't know what a s'more was. And I pronounced Utah. I pronounced it Utta. You know, and like things like that. And people are like, what is wrong with you, woman? But
I mean, not knowing what a s'more is, there's nothing more American than marshmallow, graham crackers, and chocolate.
And that's one of the best things I learned about this country.
Really? S'mores?
S'mores.
And how to pronounce Utta?
And how to pronounce Utta.
So you're in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then how did you make the jump then from Chicago to here to Los Angeles?
I was 18 and I decided I wanted to be a movie star.
Okay.
So I told my parents that I wanted to take a year off after high school and come out and explore the movie business, and then I just came out and never stopped exploring the movie business.
And you just stayed.
I did. I just stayed, and I lived in Orange County at first with my great uncle for free.
Yeah.
No rent, and I drove up to L.A., and then eventually moved into a room, paid $300
in rent. That's a good deal.
If you hadn't been so guarded about your age a second ago, I would have asked you how long you've been here, but I won't.
You know what's funny?
But I feel like you've been here, and this sounds terrible, but I feel like you've been here long enough to be fully immersed in the city of Los Angeles.
Definitely, definitely. And I want to say I'm not afraid to give away my age, but what the heck? I won't give it away.
Email us. We'll turn it into a guessing game.
Yeah.
Or they can just go to your IMDb page, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then I'll find out.
Yeah.
It's not like
and then
they
add
won't
3 years.
Find out in like 2 minutes.
I feel like so far you've been a wonderful guest because we've semi-insulted your country of birth and we've semi-made it sound like you're ancient,
really old,
which you are not. Whatever it is, whatever age you think she is, you look young. You look
well,
younger than me.
You. I'll take it as I am however old I look. How about that?
So, the acting, now it's interesting. So you can, and this will lead me into my next question, because you're Mexican origins, you can operate in different mediums. And this season you were seen prominently on FX's The Bridge, acting in Spanglish.
Indeed, yeah, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. I know they just finished their first season. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the show, just listeners.
Yeah, The Bridge is a show on FX, and it takes place both in Juarez and El Paso.
Exactly.
But it's really just like Van Nuys.
And, exactly.
It is about, the show initially is kicks things off because a body is found on the bridge connecting Mexico and the United States, but it turns out it's actually two bodies connected at the torso, and so a Mexican cop played by Damien Bashir has to team up with a American cop played by Diane Kruger, who is autistic, somewhere on the autistic scale. She's a whack job.
Yeah, and she's Asperger's. She has Asperger's.
Yes, that's what, Asperger's. And the two of them solve crimes together, and it also stars Ted Bundy?
Ted Levine.
Ted Levine. I always
Ted Levine. Yeah,
because
yeah,
you,
he's great.
You always want to say Ted Bundy because Ted Levine played a serial killer in Silence of the Lambs.
Ah,
yes, the great Ted Levine. And who else is in the show? What's his name from Scream and Scooby-Doo?
Oh, yes, Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard, thank you.
Yes, he's great, too.
Reprising his role as Shaggy, except now on the bridge.
Yeah, yeah. And Emily Rios, who's his partner, she works as the reporter.
That's right.
She's also great. Yeah. Yeah, but you hit it, right? You pretty much said it all. And it's cool because, you know, the detectives on each side of the border end up having to come together to solve this crime. And now they're, you know, deciding, as if you've seen through, that they want to actually work on the murders in Juarez and all the women that have been killed, you know, which is really a delicate subject when you think about it, because these women are disappearing and being killed for years in Juarez and pretty much nothing's ever being done about it. So, it's exciting to be a part of the show. You know, it's edgy and it's touching on, I think, an important subject. So,
and you get to work with some real heavyweights here because Damien Bashir, you know, Oscar-nominated actor. He's been terrific. We were just talking off air. We just saw him in Machete Kills, but he's popping up in more and more things now.
He's the Mexican,
you know,
Javier Bardem, yeah.
Totally, and it's funny because when I first met him on the set when we were shooting the pilot, I asked, you know, how long have you been acting? And he pretty much said, like, his age, which I forget what it was, and maybe I shouldn't give that away either. But, you know, it was like 40 or 50 years. Like, basically, he's been acting since he was 2. Like, his parents, I think, were in the business in Mexico City.
And put him to work young.
Yeah, so he's been around in Mexico. I mean, I grew up watching him, and I, you know, so it was really surreal to be all of a sudden, like, acting with him in a scene. You know, when you grow up in Mexico and you think in the small city and you think that's it, that's your life.
Well, now who did, tell our audience a little bit who you play on the bridge.
I play Celia, and she works in El Paso at the detective's office, and I pretty much log all the evidence of the crimes. And so they come to me, Diane Kruger's character and Damien Bashir come to me when they're looking for information, And later in the first season, I get a little bit more involved when I kind of discover things that I don't like, and I finally decide to step up and say something about it. So.
Okay. And the show has been picked up for a second season, and we're just waiting to hear
exciting.
What happens to Celia in the future episodes.
And who knows? I know I'm involved in one of the plots for sure, so I'm excited
to
come
back. So you're coming back.
I'm coming back.
Excellent.
I have to come back. Who knows how quickly, how long I'll stay, but I'm coming back.
For people who... let me ask you that something, because so how long you stay, is there something nefarious could happen to your character or something?
It could be. I mean, because I'm kind of meddling in things that I could get in trouble.
You know what's funny about TV now? It's like almost every show, and I guess this is something that probably started up with The Sopranos, but like... life is cheap on almost all shows now, other than maybe sitcoms.
You're not going to kill Sheldon off on Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, that's not happening as much as I want it to. But, you know, life is now cheap on these shows. And, I mean, people, you know, on The Walking Dead, anyone could go on Breaking Bad. You never knew who was going to live or die. Is there something... I mean, would you... obviously, you want to stay on the show because you want to be acting, but I mean, there's also something to, if your character gets to go out in a cool way, is there something that could be satisfying about that as an actor, or are you dreading something like that?
I definitely think there could be something satisfying. I would hope, you know, there would be some redemption. I would hope there would be, if I get killed off, because, you know, a lot of these women have been victims maybe I can go with a fight if I have to go, you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, the other option is maybe they put you into, you know, a steamy subplot with Damien Bashir's character. So that's
even
also
better.
Because his
better.
Wife's out of the picture now.
Exactly. And I'm always kind of flirting with him, and I do kind of have a secret crush on him.
Maybe I like this idea.
It could happen. I kind of like that idea.
Well, and I heard you've talked before. I heard when at the FET you discussed how you prepare for a scene and then they show up to set, and talk about that a little bit, the process of actually doing a scene, not just with the actors, but the way you have to do it in Spanish and English and how that plays out on the show.
Sure. Well, you know, this is really only the second TV show I've ever been in. I was in Southland a couple years ago. So I don't have a whole lot of experience, on real TV shows. So I showed up and I had three lines in the scene, and I had a scene with Diane Kruger and Damien Bichir. And so I was a little nervous because they're both Oscar-nominated actors. And so I worked on the scene. I worked at it in class. I showed up completely ready, you know, and you literally meet the director, you know, and all of a sudden they're like, okay, act, you know. So we all had our sides, but I'd memorized mine, and it was just interesting to me to experience it, because I thought, oh well, they're professionals, they're going to be perfect, and I have to be perfect, and they weren't, you know. They were stumbling, and they looked at their sides, and they didn't know their lines. Now, granted, you know, they've been doing a million other scenes. It's not, you know, I'm sure that they had done their preparation, but when you're shooting all day long, you're going to forget your lines. But it was great, because to watch them just work through the scene, we did it, whatever, four or five times, and by the fifth time, it was there. But it was just really reassuring to be like, oh, it's not about perfection, you know. I think we often think it is.
Yeah.
We often think,
because the final product you see is...
Yeah, and you think it just comes out that way, you know, 100% all the way through.
No, sometimes you're acting in English, sometimes you're acting in Spanish.
Yeah.
Does that written into the script, or do they make that just... You do it multiple ways on the set?
Well, on the pilot, because it was the pilot, we did it all different ways. We did it in Spanish, we did it in English, we did it in Spanglish, and they wanted me to have an accent in English. So when I do speak English, I have a Mexican accent. So then they've sort of done either or. They've done some English scenes and some Spanish. I actually love doing the Spanish scenes, and I really like that about the show, that they do a lot of Spanish.
Yeah, because it adds to the reality of the, you know, if you just had everyone going around in Mexican accents.
It's just,
And there are whole scenes, I mean, that play out in the show that's just completely, half the episode can be in Spanish. And,
easily,
you know, I think it's, you know, in this country, more shows need to be embracing that element of the culture.
It's appropriate for the times, yeah absolutely.
So now, season one's wrapped up on that. Are people still, is it like on, can they watch it on demand on like FX? Do they have like an on demand, or is it the DVD coming out? Do you know the details on that? We probably should have looked into this before.
You know, I don't know the details other than I have heard that you can see it on Hulu. I'm sure it'll eventually be on Netflix. I've heard Hulu.
It's the one show that's not getting DVDs. No DVDs. That's it. They're burning it. That's it.
Go to Amazon and order season one of The Bridge.
I think you can do that too. Yeah, Amazon.
Now, the other thing you do, and this is how me and Trung kind of met you before we knew you were this actress, you are a singer.
Yes.
And you are in a band called Pie.
Exactly.
Delicious name. Is that why you picked it? Like, how'd you come up? Why did you decide to call a band Pie?
We literally sat there, me and the guitarist, David Zimstig, and we went through all the names that we really liked, and we just kept landing on Pie, and we would just sit there and start thinking about Pie, and be like, oh, Pie, you know, strawberry rhubarb pie. Like, and we kept getting stuck on Pie, and so maybe we should have been called Stuck on Pie, but it's not a bad name. But
there'll be a cover band one day from your band. Fans of your band, they'll do a cover band called Stuck on Pie.
Well, to be fair, Hitler's other youth was already taken, so you had to settle with Pie.
There you go. Pie had to do. And, you know, eventually we kind of like the idea that, you know, pie comes in different flavors and textures, and our music is very much like that. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, so that probably makes my question of, tell us a little, describe your music or influences, it may be tricky, but try to.
Well, the best way we've come up with describing it is rock alternative with Latin and blues infusion. So
okay.
We have, it's definitely rock. It has a lot of blues in it. We throw in Spanish and Latin vibes. An alternative is always what you call what you don't know what to call. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I would, you know, if I may be presumptuous, each album should be titled just blueberry or strawberry or rhubarb. So each album title should just be a type of pie.
Totally.
So it'd be the strawberry album, the blueberry album,
the pecan.
And we've done pie themed shows, where each song will be linked to a pie, and we actually have gotten pie sponsors, and we'll have pie.
And you guys have played at the Republic of Pies.
Yes.
We're saying the word pie quite a bit.
A lot.
The Republic of Pies right here on Magnolia, right by my apartment. I've never been.
And I've been there many times.
You've never been? It's such a great spot. It's a great place to write, too. I go there and write. I sit there for hours.
I can't write in public.
I can't. What are you like? I don't eat in public. I can't see people.
No, I have. If I go out in public, as hard as it is to sit at home and write, sometimes there are distractions. When I'm out, there are more distractions because I'm watching everyone.
See, I can only write in public for the most part.
Me too. Yeah. It's easier. It actually helps me focus.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm a weirdo.
There you go.
We've established this many times on the podcast.
Now, the name of your band had nothing to do with the fact that you perform at Republic of Pi on a regular basis.
No, we were originally Pi. We've been Pi for almost 6 years.
And 6 years?
Yeah. We started about 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just me and the guitar started, and we made our first album, For a Reason, is what it's called. We didn't just make it For a Reason. It's called For a Reason. And then we had L Boogie on percussion join us, and we did another album called Soul Echo. And yeah, so we've been around a while, and then Republic of Pi opened last February.
And you're like, we have to play.
Oh
here.
Yeah. As soon as I heard about that place, I showed up, I met the owner, and I was like, we're playing here. It's just fate.
Like, you sell pies, we are Pi.
This is our Republic, yeah.
And we, the first time we heard you sing, because you have a wonderful voice.
Oh,
we
thank
really
you.
You're gonna get to hear that voice a little later in the
little
show.
A little later we're gonna be playing a track, a Pi track. But it was, you did this interesting thing. It was at like an open mic thing, the FET. We've had, you're involved with that. We've had Jackson on from that, and he's spoken about it on a letter. But you did this thing where you turned off all the lights.
Oh, yeah.
And we listened to you in complete darkness. And I know you were very taken
with
that.
I loved it. I felt like I was in a David Lynch film. It reminded me of the scene from Mulholland Drive. When the woman singing Joranda, the Spanish version of the Roy Orbison song. I kind of got that vibe off of it. But yeah, you just had the whole room in darkness, and you just sang, and it was amazing. I really...
Oh, thank you.
It was something so different and unique, and yet so simple.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I can't remember which one you were at, because I've done it maybe only twice, but I know the first time I did it, it just occurred to me last minute. And I just was like, you know, what the heck? Let's just turn off all the lights, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no better way to connect to your ear when you do that, you know? And it
was
really freeing for me as well.
But when...
Someone touched me, though, when the lights were off. I don't like that.
Yeah, someone took my wallet.
That's part of the joy.
You have your little like kids come in and start with night vision goggles stealing things while you're distracting them with songs.
Exactly.
Like, oh, what a beautiful voice. Wait a second.
Yeah.
But if they go to see you at... say a show, you won't not be in darkness. We'll get to see you singing.
No, yes, that was more of an open mic, artsy thing. Yeah, and in fact, we have a show coming up on November 8th at Room 5, which is Room 5 Lounge right above the Amalfi Restaurant on La Brea.
I know it well.
Yeah, so we'll be playing there November 8th at 10 p.m.
You know Adam Carolla owns that restaurant? He owns the whole block because the Acme Comedy Club next door.
Yeah.
He was one of the founding members. He started his improv career there at Acme, and then he got big and famous, and that Amalfi Restaurant was always next door, and he's like, one day I'm going to own this place. That's why he has all his Mangria parties there. He owns the restaurant, and I think he owns a comedy club, too.
I did not know that.
So you're playing for Carolla.
I guess I am.
How do you feel about that?
Awesome.
There you go.
In. It's a great venue. They have really good sound system. It's all about the music. I love singing there.
Everyone should go see you sing because you got a great voice, and I love this is a weird thing, and I've talked about this before. I love female singers sometimes, unless they're like a real rock band, unless it's like Mick Jagger or Dave Grohl or somebody. Guy singing a song with a guitar, I can't handle it. But a woman,
sad bastard music.
Yeah, I can't handle sad bastard music. But a woman. That I'm all about. I don't know what that means.
So
you're straight? That's what it means.
Yeah, that could be part of it.
Maybe that's what it is.
Imagine that. Okay, so you have the show November 8th. Where can they go to find out more, hear more, see more, learn more?
Yeah, thebandpie.com will link you to everything. And it's, exactly how it sounds. Thebandpie.com. Yeah, you can find Facebook/thebandpie.
Twitter/thebandpie.
Yeah, and if you go to our website, you'll have links to Twitter, Facebook, all our shows, YouTube videos, stuff like that.
Check it out, people. Do yourself a favor.
And if you're a good listener of the podcast, you've heard all the Pi songs already.
You purchased both albums.
Because we will have a link on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I think somebody should count how many times we've said Pi, right? And there should be like a reward.
Yes. And if
for
you
whoever
get the,
gets it right.
Yeah, and
I'm not going through and counting the number. I'm not fact checking this. Rain Man, gotta go through here and do a Pi count.
Well,
you know, 3.14 times. That's the only times we did it.
There you go.
It's thinking humor.
Yeah, it's smart man humor.
So, would you care to break down some topics of the week with us? Some pop culture topics?
Let's do it. I'm not great at pop culture. I live in my own world, but I will make comments.
You've been, much like me, you've been very self-involved.
Oh, my
lately.
God, very self-involved.
So there you go, you know. Because me, it's me just, like, puttering around my apartment. You're on, like, hit TV shows.
Well, but other than that, I'm puddling around or playing with my dog or, you know, writing songs in my head.
There you go. Well, you always got to be writing songs.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Do you watch much TV? Being on a TV show, do you watch much TV?
A little bit. I do. I Netflix a lot. Like,
okay.
I just watch.
So you're watching everything after the fact, pretty much.
Yeah, I kind of do. It's like when everybody's like, watch this, it's really good. Then I'm like, okay.
See, I always use the fact that I co-host a pod culture podcast as an excuse of like, well, I have to watch it within the first 24 hours that it's on. Otherwise, it's no good.
It's the perfect
excuse. It's no
excuse.
Good. It gets rotten.
Yeah. 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 So it's
I do
like
that with movies. I love movies, and I just like, no, always no excuse. I can go to a movie and be like, well, it's acting research.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you go to the movies a lot?
I do, and I rent a lot of movies.
What have you seen lately in the theater?
What's the last thing I saw? Oh, Don John.
Oh, did you like it? Because I
loved it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I thought there were some issues with the Julianne Moore character.
Oh, really?
Personally, I thought it was a little on the nose, but he was great. Scarlett Johansson was great. It's a good movie. It's a good movie about the expectations we have of people when we're in relationships.
What's a relationship?
Exactly. Again,
that's a question.
We don't know this anymore. We're all fucked. But there's a movie coming out this weekend. Ender's Game.
I did watch the trailer for research.
Now, this is based off a classic science fiction novel by Orson Scott Card. Sean, why don't you tell people what it's a little?
Yeah, it's based on a book he published in 1985, and it's part of a series, I guess. The basic concept is that Earth has been invaded by these insectoids.
Always insectoids.
These goddamn insectoids. And they get children because children have this ability to do something with their brains, and the children go through this training academy where they learn how to fight the insectoids using almost like a simulation chamber. The kids think that they're playing a game, but they're actually actually controlling warships in this intergalactic battle for Earth. And this is one of those books like John Carter where the film may come off or looks very derivative because it was so influential to so many later works. So Harry Potter took a lot of ideas from the Ender's Game world. And Orson Scott Card famously said that it'll never become a movie because it's unfilmable. The entire thing takes place in Ender's head. So you get to go see the unfilmable movie this weekend.
Well, that sounds really not that exciting. Because one, you just said it takes place all in some kid's head. Two, which doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, but they're on simulators? Like, is Ender in any actual danger? Like,
I want kids in danger.
I want kids in danger. Like, I mean, there's something to be said. Yeah, you might be like, oh, the Hunger Games is horrific. Kids are being killed. But, you know, at least that's drama. I mean, at least in Harry Potter, people could die. You know? I mean,
do you want children to be in danger?
You know, the Hunger Games pulled it off. I wasn't totally disturbed by that because, you know, I'd read the book and, you know, it's
I like
not
the books.
Real. The books are great, yeah.
Never read the third one.
I only read the first one.
Oh. I read all three.
But it was good. but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I did watch the trailer and it looked very much like a combination of a lot of movies that I've already seen. I didn't know that that's what it was and that all these other movies were probably influenced by it. So, yeah. And it's got some great actors.
You got scowling Harrison Ford and
tattooed-faced Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Ben Kingsley.
Although
Ben Kingsley has slummed it in the past, so just because he's in a movie doesn't mean that it's
good. Yeah, that's
good.
True. And that Harrison true. Ford certainly has as well.
Yes.
So, there's nothing about this that's grabbing me. I know it's this classic story. I just don't think it looks all that exciting. I don't plan on seeing, unless all of a sudden I hear the greatest, most glowing reviews. Is this something you would go see, or you'd rather see a more human story?
I'm a little more of the, indie films.
Blue is the
films.
Warmest color.
What was that?
Blue is the warmest color.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That's the movie I'm going to see this
that's
weekend.
The three-hour French lesbian drama that won all these awards at the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a lot of controversy surrounding it's NC-17, so I hope you're older than 17.
<I don't know.
laughs> Well, speaking, you've given me a good segue here, because speaking of lesbians and homosexuals, there is a little bit of a controversy about Ender's Game. Orson Scott Card is a major homophobe. Like, the guy who wrote this book, and not that I'm saying the book necessarily has homophobic elements in it, because it's just some sci-fi book. That doesn't... I haven't read it, so I don't know.
For all we know, it's all about homophobia. It's just a big metaphor.
The way it's been embraced, I doubt that's the case, especially by nerds, and nerds are usually not really homophobic. This is my theory.
More blanket statements.
I'm going on that theory. They're more open-minded. You know, Star Trek, everybody got along and flew on a big ship together through the galaxy.
That's it, and Kirk has sex with green women.
That's right, and I would have sex with green women. But my question is, now a lot of people are getting mad at the film. Because they're like, this is based on this book by this homophobe. And they're kind of taking it out against the movie, and I don't know if that's fair, because should we really hold... I mean, none of the filmmakers are homophobes.
That you know of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming they're not. I'm assuming Ben Kingsley has no problem with gay people. But is it? Do you think that's fair at all to hold the film accountable for the views of the author?
I don't, personally. I mean, unless, you know, like you said, the views of the author were in it and really very offensive. But in this case, I think it's a piece of art and it stands on its own, and I don't think it should be judged.
I think their argument is by making a movie of... And I don't know if I feel this is a fair argument either, but their argument is by making a movie of Ender's Game, more people will buy the book Ender's Game, and thus Orson Scott Card...
gets more money to be a homophobe. Well, you know, and he's been around for a while, but just recently he just started saying a bunch of stuff again, and they're like, can you please just shut up? And he goes, oh, there's no such thing as bad publicity, and the filmmakers are telling him, yeah, we know, but can you just please stop talking? Because he said a lot of stuff around the gay marriage debate, and then he kept doubling down and doubling down with these awful comments, and you just wanted to, you know.
Yeah, and in that case, you know, if he's hurting himself, then, you know what I mean? Because it is going to affect it, you know, negatively and positively, perhaps, but...
I mean, all these awful people, I still see. If they make good art, I still see it, and maybe I'm
talking to a diehard Wagner fan, so, you know, if
I mean,
get past that...
I mean, yeah, anti-Semite.
Most of the greatest artists were anti-Semites, come on.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, there you go.
I love Mel Gibson's movies.
Although with Mel Gibson, I do. If I want to see one of his movies, I will either buy tickets for something else and sneak in, or he I won't give money to anymore.
But you don't give money, but you still, like, if you
I'll consume it. I just won't support it.
Do you think that's a little half-assed?
It's what I got to work with.
All right, fair enough.
Why am I going to deny myself the film?
That's my take on it.
And there's so many other people that worked on it. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
There's, you know, just because he's a director.
That's what's unique, I think, about the art form of a film. It's the most collaborative of all the art forms.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, should the view of one person really sink a whole film?
And if I wanted to read a book by someone whose views I didn't agree with, I would buy it used. So the author's not getting another... Someone already purchased the book.
That's what I did with my copy of Mein Kampf.
By the way, that's a whole side issue. Well, I really want to read Mein Kampf, but first of all, you can't go to a bookstore and put that on the shelf. Put that on the counter, because you can't. I'd rather buy, like, awful bestiality porn than just go, yes, please, I would like this and some Skittles. And then if you purchase it online, you know you're going on a government watch list. Just done. It's you know,
what
a creepier than buying a used copy of Mein Kampf. Who are you buying this from?
What if you bought it along with a lot of other books about, like, World War II and, like, maybe the Holocaust? You bought it. It's kind of like the guy who's like, I'll have this newspaper, this candy bar, and these condoms.
I always call it, it's Mein Kampf to buy Mein Kampf. When I was in college, a friend of mine went over to her apartment, and I walked in, and there was a pile of books, no joke about, waist high. 2-volume biography of Hitler, 3-volume history of the Third Reich, Mein Kampf, this and that. And I see it, I see the pile, and I look at her, and then she sees that I'm looking at the pile, and looking at her, and she immediately diffuses and goes, no, I'm sorry, I'm taking a history and fascism class, a history of 20th century fascism class, I'm not a neo-Nazi, you know? But I was 2 seconds from walking out the door.
Now, we were also talking about TV. Do you watch sitcoms? You watch sitcoms, Ellie?
Yeah, from time to time.
Do you watch Parks and Recreation?
Uh-uh, I have not seen
You are
that.
Missing out on the best sitcom
really?
On television. Oh, it's so
It's on good. Netflix. You should...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Check it out.
And Amy Poehler. I mean, is anyone funnier than Amy Poehler?
She's great.
Well, NBC's a bunch of idiots. Because they've once again... They don't know what to do with their Thursday night line. Thursday night NBC used to be the greatest. I mean, you know, you had Friends, and before that, Seinfeld, and before that, Cheers, and before that, The Cosby Show. And, you know, you've had all these great shows, like Family Ties, and...
Must-see TV.
Must-see TV for decades. And then somehow they pissed it all away. But the irony was... They had these brilliant shows that they clearly didn't know how to maybe
the
market.
Office in its prime.
30 Rock, Community, and Parks and Rec. I mean, that's a good 2 hours of television.
Yeah.
Well, now all they have left is Parks and Rec. And
oh, Community, which they resurrected.
Which will come back God knows when.
Yeah.
So my Thursday night television viewing went from watching four shows to one show, and now they've taken it away. They've put it on hiatus because they're trying to rework their... evening here, which is never going to work. It's just at this point you're either into the show or you're not. And instead they're replacing it with like the sing-off and SNL clip shows, and this is the one I find most annoying, a live broadcast of The Sound of Music starring Carrie Underwood. So I ask you, Ellie, does a live broadcast of The Sound of Music starring Carrie Underwood sound like must-see TV?
As much as I love The Sound of Music, it doesn't. No.
And why would I watch Carrie Underwood singing when I could watch Julie Andrews do the movie?
True. That sounds like they're reaching.
Yeah.
Really? We got an SNL clip show of Halloween clips? You know, that's...
How can we save this once great network?
We got to take it away from them.
They need a good show. They need something.
They have good
like...
shows. They just don't know what to do with them.
Are they not putting them in the right time slots?
I don't know what's going on there.
I don't think there's anything. I think the network should just close up shop.
That's it? Just shut it all down?
Shut it all down.
Then
off the lights.
I won't get new episodes of Hannibal then.
Let me tell you what. I have an idea. You remember the movie UHF with Weird Al Yankovic? Did you ever see that?
I didn't see that.
Phenomenal movie.
Imagine the Fett, actually. Except if all those people performing the Fett, both good and bad, got their own TV show. That's what UHF is about.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I think NBC should consider this. They should give us all our own TV show.
Conan the Librarian. Gandhi 2. Yeah.
Turn it into the world's greatest public access network. You will get ratings. People will tune in to see the car wrecks, or people will find new discoveries. You could have your own show, Ellie.
I like
just it. Just for a half hour. Do whatever you want.
I think this sounds more like a new network.
I say we just, it's a half hour, just a dark screen, there's no image, and it's just you singing.
Yeah.
Basically, it's radio. It's radio
like
on
it.
The TV.
In the dark.
In the dark.
I love it.
How about this? Me and Sean have a, we'll get our own talk show there. Pie is the house band.
We're in.
You could be like the Roots.
Done.
On Jimmy Fallon.
You are
we'll
Quest
Love.
Have
a new song every week.
Yeah.
Quest Love.
You're our Quest Love.
Our Quest Love?
You're going to be
Roots.
Our Quest Love.
From the Roots.
Oh.
Do you know who he is? He's the band leader of the Roots. He's got a big afro.
Oh, yeah,
he's
yeah,
got
yeah.
The, yeah. So his name's Quest Love, which I don't
do
think
I
is
have to do that with my hair?
Yeah.
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 What
yeah.
The heck?
Why not? Why not? I want to see you with a big fro.
I could do that.
Yeah.
I can pull it off.
I feel like your hair could manage that.
So we brought up The Hunger Games briefly.
Yeah.
Before. And I've been flipping around on the dial. You know, occasionally I watch commercials because, you know.
Because you watch live TV.
Because I watch live TV. I'm the only one left in America who does that sometimes. If I'm home, because I can't wait. I'm impatient. I can't wait till it's recorded on the DVR. I need to watch it now. I need to watch Parks and Recreation now.
Can't watch it till whenever.
Yeah, whenever it comes back. And I saw a commercial for CoverGirl, you know, the makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a girl. Do you use CoverGirl?
I do. I think a couple of things I own are CoverGirl.
Well, I'm watching this commercial, and these women on it, and they're really garish looking. They're really like, I'm like, what is going on with this makeup? Like, what kind of makeup is this? And I'm kind of mesmerized by it, because it's like, it's the kind of makeup design no normal human would wear. And I'm watching, and it gets to the end of it, and it's the CoverGirl Hunger Games line. Yes, CoverGirl, to coincide with the new Hunger Games movie, Catching Fire, has come up with a new makeup line where each makeup represents one of the districts. Now, this is why this...
What?
Yeah, this is one of the stupidest ideas I've ever heard. You want to know why? Because if you know anything about the Hunger Games, and given the fact they're making three more movies, I'm willing to bet America's seen this. The women of District 12, they don't wear makeup. They're too busy trying to find food and surviving government oppression. And then on the flip side, the people in the Capitol in the movie, they're all like fucking weirdos. They've got all this disgusting makeup. And the book talks about how gaudy they are. And the movie, they're just supposed to look so terrible and weird. So basically, CoverGirl, you have come up with makeup lines for basically, like, what is the District 12 makeup? Just soot you put on your face? Are you like a fucking chimney sweep? These movie tie-ins have gotten out of control. There is no reason for a makeup line based off the Hunger Games, and that's why you, CoverGirl, are this week's enemy of the podcast. Fuck you! I don't know what are the women gonna be looking like? What are they gonna be? What are the women of District 4? What is that?
They look like good. Dorothy, you look like you came out of a Dorothea Lange photograph. And you put on the CoverGirl makeup.
I mean, this is really weird.
That is very weird.
So you're not going to buy the Ender's Game deodorant, I take it?
No, I won't be doing that.
Well, let me ask you, if the bridge could have a random-ass tie-in, product tie-in, what do you think it would be?
Oh my gosh. I don't know, how about Mexican beer?
I think it's good, yes. The bridge of Mexican beer.
Bridge, you know? Tecate Light tie-in.
Yeah, the bridge. Yeah, exactly.
Or it could be a hybrid beer that's kind of like, you know...
It's like a lager, like, but it's also like a...
Or a Budweiser Tecate. Like some sort of like American-Mexican beer.
Interesting.
Called the bridge.
Well, maybe they should have like the bridge taco, like a promotion at Taco Bell. Get
so
the bridge
that
box.
That could totally work.
This is pretty good. Machete Kills should have done something with that, too.
I don't know why they did.
They could have had a Taco Bell line, because it's just... That movie's also cheesy enough that people would be, like, amused by the whole thing.
Although CoverGirl also has a Machete Kills line.
Ketchup packets that are machetes. You know,
yeah. There you go.
And then you just split them open.
Ketchup flying all over.
There's a Machete Kills CoverGirl line as well.
It just occurred to me as we said this, though. Taco Bell's probably the only fast food chain that doesn't have ketchup.
You're right.
They got the hot sauce.
Although, yeah, you're right. They don't have ketchup.
I'm trying to think of... I mean, look, we're going to be dealing with a lot of Hunger Games all over the place. And I'm looking forward to Catching Fire because I think it's got...
I don't want
to
catch on fire. It sounds terrible.
In the hands of your man, Francis Lawrence, I know you're a fan of his.
Yes.
As a director, I think they got a bigger budget. I think they got maybe a guy who's more attuned with action. I think this is going to be I think it's going to be better than the first Hunger Games.
And he didn't like a lot of the production design in the first movie. I heard that he's...
Yeah, he got CoverGirl to come in and design all the makeup.
No,
and hair.
He did have Tom Ford come in and redo the costumes.
Oh,
and
really?
Brought him in as a consultant for the costumes for the Capitol. So
I think this Catching
Fire. Called the Minigabor smart suits.
I think this Catching Fire is going to be good. What do you think?
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm looking.
Oh, anything with Jennifer Lawrence, come on.
And I can't wait to eat the Catching Fire Whopper at Burger King, or get the Catching Fire feminine hygiene products or whatever they're going to have.
Actually, it puts out the
Jesus. And the poor Jennifer Lawrence's face is going to be on a douche. I mean, we're not far off from that, people.
But which district's douche are you going to purchase?
I think you should. I think you should go for the highest number douche, or the lowest, the District 1.
Oh, this conversation took a turn.
One company. I want to bring up a weird thing before we get to your song, and then wrap things up. I want to bring up. I always like to find a weird topic. And this one was a pretty popular one last week. Oreo cookies, who I don't think have any Hunger Game tie-ins. Maybe they'll get a tie-in with American Hustle or The Wolf of Wall Street later in the year. But Oreo cookies, it's been reported, are as addictive as cocaine.
Wow.
So that maybe that's what they'll be smuggling across the borders, Oreo cookies. Do you, first of all, do you buy this? Do you? I mean, they did like a scientific study. I think they had rats eating cookies and cocaine.
More addictive than cocaine, huh?
Or as addictive, yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's hard to believe, but I have to say, I have actually heard that there's a nutritionist who basically, he says that sugar is worse than drugs and alcohol combined. Yeah. I have actually heard.
Well, Oreo cookies are engineered, our bodies respond to sugar, salt, and fat, and Oreo cookies apparently hits that perfect pleasure center matrix.
Oh, of all three.
To stimulate all three. Now, if you think about an Oreo cookie, if you ever eat just a cookie itself, cookie's very salty. That's because the saltiness of the cookie complements the sugary creaminess of the filling, and so that's why it all works together.
And the other question is it just Oreos, or do Trader Joe's O's count too? You know what I mean?
I think it's just Oreos, because they're probably putting some, like, horrible additive in it that's delicious.
It's the same thing with chips. These food scientists know exactly how to find the right balance of these elements to make our brains go stupid.
Oh, I believe that.
Is it possible that the cookie isn't as addictive as cocaine and it's just more delicious? Like, I'd rather eat a mouthful of Oreos than a mouthful of cocaine.
That's entirely possible. By the way, do you guys have any Oreos?
No,
I should have got some for this.
Now you're thinking about it.
Now I'm totally thinking about it.
On the drive home,
like,
you're going to be like, I need to fix it, I need to fix
it.
Let me tell you what, I will say this, and I've said this before, maybe not on the podcast, but I've said this before in reality. Oreo is the greatest cookie.
No.
Of the mass-produced cookie.
Nah, Chips Ahoy.
What are you fucking kidding me?
Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies are amazing.
Chocolate cookie, boring. The Oreo with that cream. And the Oreo is the most fun cookie, too, because you can take it apart. You can eat it different ways.
I don't want to eat a cookie. I don't want to have a project.
What are you
You're the decider.
I have to go with Oreo.
Thank you.
I do. Chips Ahoy are just, they're not real chocolate chip cookies. They taste fake to me.
Yeah, I would rather.
Because Oreos are real, whatever it is. It's a made of cookie.
At least they're authentically Oreos.
But here's the thing.
All of you.
I can bake some chocolate chip cookies tonight, and they'll probably taste better than Chips Ahoy.
Yes.
But you can't go bake Oreos.
That's I want to bake now.
And think of all the things you can do with Oreos. You can make pie with Oreos.
Oreo pie.
There you go.
Totally.
You can make chocolate chip pie. Cookie pie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but you
that's
can't
true.
Get there's chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
But you can get crumbled Oreos on your ice cream, too.
Fuck. Damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Crumbled
<You're>
Oreos. Damn it. Okay, I'm going home now. There will be some cookie baking going on in my apartment tonight.
I want you to actually try to crack the if you can bake your own Oreos.
I'm not going to try to bake an Oreo.
I want
try the cream filling. It's delicious.
Okay, here's
it's been reverse engineered.
Here's the challenge to all the Will Show podcast listeners.
Now we're going
to
get packets of homemade Oreos.
That's exactly what I want.
Wow, that
listeners,
work.
I want you to try to bake Oreos.
I don't
want
to taste Andrea Marchand's homemade Oreos.
Oh, no. I taste Andrea Marchand's Oreos anytime. Well, anyway, I think this is a delicious idea, and I'm going to get a team of scientists and chefs on
and
this.
And rats.
And we're going to...
And then rats too, we can do it.
We're going to get a bunch of rats, and we're going to have them see what's more addictive, the Wilshawn Podcast Oreos or the Nabisco Oreos.
This is terrible. I'm baking cookies tonight, though. That's happening.
So, speaking of deliciousness, we've got a pie song.
Indeed.
The song we're going to play is called Scream Out Loud. Is there anything you want to say about this song before we play it?
Yeah, I'll just mention it's our most recent recording. It doesn't belong to an album yet, and it kind of stands on its own right now. And other than that, yeah, that's it. Enjoy. Scream Out Loud.
Here it is. Pie with Scream Out Loud.
Take me to another place where time can be erased, and I don't have to try not to cry when you walk away. Take me back another day where I can see reverse the things I said that way you down, like, say now what you wanna say. Don't hold back, not again, not today. The sweetest dreams you've ever had don't amount to what take me to another space where love don't go to waste. You don't have to hide the way you feel, or won't you take me over and around where silence is a sound? And I don't have to sing for you to hear me say now what you want to say.
That was fantastic.
Yay!
What did I say, people, about her voice? What did I say?
Thanks.
And once again, you could find that at, you know what? Once again, what? The band pie.com?
Yes. The band pie.com, and it's pie like the food. Sometimes people think it's the mathematical number, but it's P-I-E. So the band pie.com, that song is available on iTunes. So you can either go to iTunes and search us, or you can go to our website. You can like us on Facebook. Come to our show at Room 5, November 8th at 10 p.m.
And if you like them, you on Facebook, you'll get updates on all the shows, all future pie shows.
Yeah, and if you sign our mailing list, which you can do on the website, we'll send you our newsletter, and you will know when the next show is. And we'll also send you free music, actually. We'll send you a free download of our live album, which we actually recorded at Room 5 about 2 years ago.
Awesome. So what if I send a self-addressed stamped envelope? Will you sign me up for the physical newsletter that you mail out?
Well, we don't do a physical one, but maybe I could come up with something to throw in an envelope.
Throw that in a bunch
one,
of...
You should send one Oreo...
A homemade Oreo cookie.
Yeah.
Please do not send us homemade cookies.
Send
First
me.
Of all, you don't have our addresses.
Send them to... We got to get a P.O. box for the podcast.
I think we have a P.O. box on our website, but I don't know...
Really?
I think we do.
Send them to the band pie. Send
we
the
have
Oreo
some
cookies.
Address on there, I believe.
You know what? Send it to Cassie J. Snyder's P.O. box in Lake...
Yes, in Lake Ronkonkoma. Now, before we completely wrap up, then how about you personally? Is there any other, like, is there a site where we could find out all things Ellie beyond, like, Pi with the acting and stuff like that? Plug away.
Yes, actually, EllieArriza.com, and that's EllieArriza.
It's a lot of vowels.
Yeah, it is. If you forget, just, you know, IMDb The Bridge. I'm in there under Celia. And yeah, I have info on my music there. I also write, and I started a blog, but it's still very new. It's on WordPress, and it's called Nothing Beats Reality. So yeah, you can find out about me on there.
I know one thing that beats reality: a whole bunch of Oreo cookies.
God damn you with the Oreo cookies! And what about?
Are you on Twitter? I know you are, but you don't seem to tweet enough. You need to tweet more.
I've how to use Twitter. I haven't gotten into the swing of it. I want to, though. So, and maybe you guys can teach me. I want to plug the show anyway because I'm on it.
Excellent.
So how How do they find you on Twitter?
I am Twitter.com/ElliaRiza. So okay. Everything's pretty much slash ElliaRiza. I have a Facebook.
You're at ElliaRiza. This is the first thing we'll teach you with Twitter.
There you
you're
go.
You're at
Oh, is that what
Riza.
It is?
Yeah,
okay.
You just have to say the at
oh,
symbol
just the at.
And then whatever your handle is.
I am at ElliaRiza, and I will be using Twitter more often.
Yes,
or to promote the bridge and to promote
totally.
The...
And, you know, not to jump ahead of things, but being on the bridge has opened some doors for you, so hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more of you in the future.
I hope so,
soon
absolutely.
You'll be too big for this podcast.
Never.
You'll never be our house band.
No. You guys are just going to keep... We're all going to climb the ladder together.
Excellent.
I like that. I like the way you're thinking.
Not eating Oreos on the ladder.
Sean, plug away.
Well, you can follow me at TheSeanDavid on Twitter. You can also like me on Facebook. And you can download and read my book, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, at Amazon Kindle. And I don't think I have anything planned in the near future, so there you go, folks.
That's it. That's nothing it. Else planned in the near future, it's just that.
I will be in Mexico City this weekend, so
yeah.
That'll be fun.
Being kidnapped.
Yes.
Again, I'm insulting the country of your birth. But we kid. I'm at The Real Will Link on Twitter. You could read reviews of mine. Admittedly, I haven't written a new one in a while, but, you know, they're still there, so fucking go to youonecans.com. Cans spelled like the city in France. I've got a couple of upcoming readings. On November 20th, I will be at Tattletales at Shetty's Public Parlor. I believe I'm going to read an essay that I performed at the show Tell It, but I know it was... A lot of people didn't come out, so maybe I'll get you down to this one to see. It's about dating 21-year-old girls and how that didn't work out. And then I'm also going to be performing at the big end-of-the-year December 1st Lit Up Writers Show at the Lyric Hyperion Theater. And I'm really thrilled. Carolyn Martone, who runs that show, she was doing like a best of, and she apparently I was one of the best of the year. So I'm... That sounds really obnoxious, yeah. But I'm going to...
Speaking about being a little self-involved.
But I'm going to be performing at the Best of the Year show.
Hey, toot that horn. That's good.
I got a hair appointment that day.
Next week on the podcast, we have Heidi... Oh, my God. I forgot from last week how to pronounce her name. Heidi Bosch Harad.
Okay.
Harad. And she works for an organization called Women's Voices Now, and they're planning this big film festival that they're in the middle of taking submissions about. This organization really works with, you know, maybe women who are oppressed, a lot of, I know, Muslim women and stuff. And this film festival, they're looking for films that help, I guess, empower those women. And we're going to find out all about this.
That is awesome.
Even though it sounds like a heavy topic... heavier than usual, we are going to bring the same brand of stupidity
and insouciance to this noble organization.
Yes, exactly. We're going to make them regret ever coming on. And the week after that, we have Samson Schulman. And that's a fun name to say, Samson Schulman. And he runs the 5 AM Collective, which is a music label.
You sure it's not a pot dispensary?
Maybe it's both. And if you remember a while back, we had a band, The Moth and the Flame, on. And they were under the 5 AM Collective. That's how we got him. And he runs this. So we're going to find out what that's like to run kind of this, where he finds new bands and how he kind of brings them along and helps them become. Because now The Moth and the Flame, former guests, they're like in Europe playing opening for who's it? What's it?
Yes.
Imagine Dragons.
Yes.
So things are going well for them. And it all happened because they were on our podcast.
That's exactly why.
Everybody takes off after they come here, huh?
Exactly. So
we're like the good luck Chuck of artistic talent.
You do our show. Nothing good ever happens to us, but you go on to great heights.
Every week we're still here, still plugging away.
But, you know... Ellie, whether it's a Riza or a Raza, you're phenomenal. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Will and Sean.
Thank you.
It's awesome to be here.
And anytime. Well, not really, because we have other guests. But thank you so much. It was wonderful to have you on. And for the Will Sean Podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.